burnt.
I had to get her coffee.
Mom's okay.
Okay, no, that's
She's
right.
bringing. She's probably gonna bring it when she brings in the
Okay,
budget.
no, that's fine. Okay, call the meeting to order. Compliance with open meeting law.
Yes, it was posted on the website and with the county clerk and sent to the radio and newspaper.
Okay, I need a motion for approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Okay, second to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
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 Approval of the minutes of August 16, 2023.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of August 23. I'll second.
Second. Motions are made and second to approve the minutes of August 16, 2023. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, any public comment, communication? None. You elect a new vice chair?
Yes, Arnold was the vice chair, so we are without a vice chair right now.
So, need a nomination?
I nominate Hornstead.
In a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
We used to be friends, I know my. You might not be anymore.
If there's no other nominations, I'll move to close the nominations for March 10th and vote on that. Okay, all those in favor of March 10th being the new vice chair, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Welcome aboard again.
Advocacy reports and activities.
Okay. I do not have any more on nutrition program legislation. I haven't heard anything out of the House. With that, Molly Bond, I don't know how to pronounce her last name for sure, from Derek Van Orden's office had stopped in. So we did talk about the nutrition program a little bit in more detail in terms, a little bit more so on the regulation side of it, and the fact that we're struggling to, you know, with the funding we have all in congregate versus home delivered, how difficult that is. So, and then just explain, I just shared with her our 2022 numbers and activities and outcomes from that. So, but she didn't have anything more on the legislation at that time either. So I'm not sure where that stands, but I'll keep you informed. It didn't look great. So Orchard Manor Car Show, we did have the bus there, I hope. I was going to be there, but I got a call from the emergency room. So I ended up running out the door, and Dan was there with the bus. So hopefully it went good. Were you there, Bob? Did they have a good turnout?
Yeah, they had more vehicles than last year.
Great.
Great.
I'm glad to hear that. So,
yeah,
so
had ice cream.
What's that?
Ice cream.
No. I know. I missed the ice cream. We had a granddaughter break her arm on the playground and have to have surgery, and her dad was on the other side of the state, and her mom couldn't get anybody but me, so I had to go. But she's okay. So that was Susan Marshall is an author who wrote a book on caregiving called Chardonnay and Cheetos. They are doing kind of a meet and greet and discussion at the Platteville Library on October 9th. So that is through our dementia care specialist program. So just so you're aware of that, they've got a few things going on. They've got Advancing the Science at Any Given Moment. That is also the latest in Alzheimer's and dementia research. Thank you very much. On October 26th, that will be a virtual presentation. So if you'd like more information on that, just give us a call and we'll link you with the link. Elderfest is, of course, coming up 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the 27th. And along with that, our dementia specialists are going to provide a presentation at 11 that day in the Eckstein building on what they're calling noggin knowledge, which is a presentation on brain health. So this is, we have not done a presentation in conjunction with Elder Fest in a long time. So this is going to be kind of a trial to see if it's popular or not. But I think the presentation will be good. And regional board meeting report. Do you have one? I know it's coming up this week.
I had that on my table, but I didn't grab it this morning. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit behind here. I think most of it, as I recall, because it's a month ago.
I know. It's so hard to read.
Was on new legislation, and, you know, she was quite happy with the money that the ADRC got, but it wasn't how much they asked for. But
right.
She said it, positive, it's a step in the right direction, but there was a lot more funding that was needed. So she talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I think it's about a fifth of what was asked for. Well, 5 million is what we'll end up with. And I think they were looking closer to 27 million. There is, we were hoping, I was hoping anyway, that we would see some of that this year because there was some budgeted for 2024, but I see the state seems to be struggling with that a little bit. And so I don't know that we're gonna see it. So it's not in my 24 budget at all because I don't believe we're gonna have it yet. We'll see, but I don't have it in there because it didn't sound to me when we had the last state meeting that it was going to occur. I think they're gonna take the 2.5 that was budgeted and just lump it together into the next one or something. I don't know how they make those decisions, but we do have another prevention program starting. Again, this is a virtual one. Eat Smart, Move More, Weigh Less. This one came about because we have not been spending our prevention money because I don't have staff that have time to do prevention, quite frankly. And I had that conversation with Angie Sullivan at GWAR, and this was a program that she recommended as one way to use up our dollars. It is a good program. It's an evidence-based program through the University of North Carolina. So we are, again, kind of trying that out. We'll see how it goes and see if we get any takers. We got one for sure. So we'll go from there. Other than that, that's all I have. Do you have budgets then?
Yep.
All right. So I apologize because I'm not even clear that this is right. I noticed, first of all, two things. We are still struggling a little bit with the new financial software because we don't know it. And the reports that I need to get out of it don't actually always come out in the way that I would like them to look. So I'm sure I have a mistake in the tax levy because I think that's way too high. I think it should be about 620, maybe, not even that. I noticed this morning when I got in here and I did the transportation programs that I did not have the 20% for transportation. So the 20% of the transportation funding is about $25,860. And I had everything kind of balanced in transportation. And that was wrong because I should have at least $25,000 in levy for that. So I needed to adjust that. And when I went to adjust it, that just sort of sent everything off because I had exported from Tyler Munis. And when I export, the formulas don't export with me. I had gone in and so I was trying to add things up by hand. And you know, when you're in a hurry and you're trying to add things up by hand, it doesn't work very well. So we had saved some money prior to this, about 18,000, and then I added 25,000. So I think in the realm of things, we're still in the 7,000 from last year. I am not convinced. I put 647 in this levy, and I don't think that's correct at all. Oh, actually, I can see my mistake. So what's the 647,076 minus that? Because I have it in there twice. I can see that already. So I apologize for that. I never did look at a budget when you know there's a mistake in it and you can't find it. 629. I still think that's too high. I don't think it's that high, but I guess I'll have to have you look at it if, with it being that high. So if you go through, we really just shored up some things in wages. However, there's another hook in here too, in fact, that we don't have the insurance numbers yet from the county. And apparently I had budgeted 8%. They had heard that Tricor was coming back at 19%.
We had asked everybody to use 9, and yeah, last Tuesday morning it came back at 19 or 20.
Sure, I'm insane.
Which is about average compared to the rest of the state. At WCA, I was asked a lot of people, anywhere from 14 and a half to 23.
I was going to say 13 in the past used to be pretty. So I'm not surprised if you want. So insurance is in here at the 8, because when I got my staff worksheet, she had left that out, and I still thought we were at 8, so I had put in 8. I had asked Amanda a couple days ago whether I should put in a higher for health insurance, but since she didn't know and it's going to affect it countywide, she just said to leave it as it was. So I think I didn't change it. It's still got the 4% in for wages. It's still got the 8% in. So we will fix that up. So originally I had saved about 18, and then I came back with 25. So it should be about a 7,000. So that's why I cannot figure out why my levy is so high. I think the levy should be under 600,000, and I'm quite sure that it is, unless I made a mistake somewhere. So I hate to have you even approve anything when I am not confident in that, because I couldn't add it up with formulas. So once I go back and plug in my formulas, I will be a little more confident in that number. But I'm not that fast in Excel to put in formulas quickly. So I don't know how you want to address it. I think it will be about the 600 mark. We were at 576. And I would have added about 25,000 in levy. However, I did sort of get that back out, about 17,000 of that. I can charge 10% to the bus, the specialized, and the TRIPS program. I can charge back admin costs at the 10% to that. So I can recoup a little bit of that, which is why I can't figure out. I must be sticking something in that levy number, because I just know that is not correct, unless it wasn't correct on the Tyler Units form I was looking at. I don't know.
According to what's entered in Tyler Units, you're asking for 576,399.
Yeah. So if you add the 576, what was it?
576,399.
So if you add in, even if you added the whole 25,860, 576,399. It's 576.
Oh, whoops.
So it's 602, which is okay. So I thought I was right at about 600. So it should be 602,259. And I'm pretty sure that's probably, I'm thinking I'm throwing something else in. And that would include the 17,000. So it should really be a little bit under that. Does that make sense? I'm sorry for the confusion. Mostly what we just did was go back and look at wages, caught a few other things. So like I said, I thought, oh good, I saved 18,000, we'll bring that back. Apparently I didn't save 18,000. I did if we didn't pay the state their 20% share in 8521. But such is the case. So I think the levy will be right around that 602 mark, and that I think the indirect, the 17,000, will fall into that as well, as it should. The other thing that makes it difficult to look at this is the indirect or the cost allocation plan is in the previous years, but it is not in this one because we don't have it yet. So Amanda hasn't stuck that in. So that will make it look higher when you get it as well, but essentially those cost allocations are a wash for those programs I can't charge to, and they're their money back to the county if I can charge them out. So, like I said, with the bus, the specialized, and trips, I can charge 10%. Even though it'll be higher on what she puts in there, I can charge up to 10%. And then I can get some of that. I'll probably won't get much out of the ADRC budget because we're already over in ADRC. We used to be underspent in ADRC, which is why the cost allocation was helpful, because then we could recoup money back to the county. But with our grants getting higher and higher, we don't have that much ability to do that. So, but those are the programs that I can do that in. So we'll get about that 17,000. And then if we can get anything from ADRC, which I doubt, we'll get that back. So the cost allocation last year was like 314,944. I suspect it will be higher because building depreciation goes in there. And we'll probably recoup just that 17 back to the county. Does that make sense? Unless she leaves it out.
If she puts it in, she's going to have enough stuff. If she puts the indirect cost in, there will be also
buy-offs.
I'm not going to go into the details.
It used to behoove us to have the cost allocation plan because we were losing. When we weren't spending out our ADRC money, all of it, we were getting more, then we were losing that. But it was silly to lose that to other counties who had a cost, who were charging those admin costs. So that's why we started doing that. But, you know, 10 years later, everything's gone up and we're spending out everything now. There was a time when they told the counties they wouldn't have to put money in ADRC, and that's a lie. So
what do you think on the budget that you want to table
it? Are you comfortable with it? If we're going to table it, I'm going to have to call another meeting in order. I mean, we could call a Zoom meeting.
Just need a motion to approve. Just move it. Just move it on through the process, because it's going to change. I guarantee you.
It's going to change with insurance. And
when I talked to Amanda this morning, you can play numbers however you want, but we're anywhere from $250,000 short right now, depending on if you throw the insurance in or if you don't. A couple of departments have already said take off my wish list, so there's another half of it. So we're about $250,000 short this morning. Amanda, we're meeting tomorrow to try to come up with a balance so that she has something to present to come in to us. So that's why the committees need to move it forward so that we can take action.
So if you want to do that, I will send you an updated sheet with the levy after I get my formulas in, and I'm a little more confident than I am this morning in that. Though I think Bob's numbers should be correct, basically. Or very
You have it entered in Tyler Muniz.
Yes.
So why don't you print the Tyler Muniz?
I will, because the Tyler Muniz prints revenue as a credit, and I like to see the total revenue.
To be.
No, but I don't like the way it does it. I have my way of budgeting, and I don't like it.
I'll make a motion.
I want you to
Budget. Because then it doesn't show you your total budget. It just shows you the total county levy.
Shows you total.
Not really, but whatever.
I have a motion to move forward. Pat, need a second. Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Phil, office. Thank you.
All right. Our office assistant accepted a job at the health department, moving to an admin one position. So I talked to Gary so we could at least advertise it. We do need this filled. It's obviously a critical, it's our front desk that answers the phones. So much for our nice casual fall this year again. Fall seems to come and we go crazy. So this is a 40-hour position.
Did you say she went to the health department?
What's it pay, Lori? 40 hours at someone that's hourly?
I believe it's $16.59.
Okay, I was going to say $16.91, so I knew it was somewhere in the 16 range.
But I can verify. Yeah, $16.59.
Okay.
So we just need approval to bill that.
Okay.
Make a motion to fill this position.
Okay,
I'll second.
Motion made and second to fill the office assistant job. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sign on bonus.
Okay.
I'm just hoping we get some applications. We have, you know, it's been tough going in the past, but giving it the 40 hours, we, you know, that has, I think, helped. The fact that it's got some, we have, you know, what's not.
Much more of this person.
No, I don't
shifting
see
to the health department.
It was, there is a difference between the office assistant and admin one. So,
okay, number 10, 85.21 transportation resolution.
All right. So we've got two transportation resolutions that have to occur. 8521 is for our bus specialized for wheelchair van, a trips program, and I put a little bit into the taxi. And I think that amount is, well, we don't have it exactly, but I tell you, 120.
Oh, 120. 129, yeah.
Thousand. Some odd dollars. And then the 53, 11, 8520, we don't really know those amounts because they're based on our expenses. They are typically 5311 is typically 50%. In past years during COVID, we were getting some like more funding for that, full funding for that. So that can change. 8520 is in normal times has been around 6,000, but as high as 11,000. So it kind of depends on their funding. The 5311 is federal funding and the 8520 is the additional state funding, just to give you a heads up on that. The 8521 is all state funding. So the resolution just says that we can apply for the grant. Essentially it's permission to apply for the grant for 8521. So in past years, that's been anywhere from 125,000 to 132,000. So it's somewhere in that ballpark. And I think I've got it in at about 129.3 or something like that. I guess I could look right here what I had it in at. No, it's not going to all be in one spot. So I've got $44,470 in for the bus. I've got $20,550 in for specialized. I have $40,323 in trips. A little bit in for taxi.
Okay.
But I know that doesn't, that's probably where my error is. I know it's like 129. Boy, I am sharp today, aren't I? Aren't you glad you are on this committee today? Wow. So we just need approval to apply for it. Are you okay with that for 8521?
Okay, I need a motion to approve.
Resolution
transportation.
Second.
And second, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meal cost.
Well, I got to still do 5311. So 5311 is just for the taxi. Okay. So that's the federal transit money for the taxi, which is about half of our operating expenses minus any revenue that we get. And we typically ask Lancaster Bosco and Fenimore to put in money for that as well. And that's usually about 67. And then the 8520 makes up a little bit of that, like the 6,000. Again, it's we don't know until we get it, but.
Okay, then I need a motion to approve that. And a second.
I'll second.
All those in favor of 5311/35.20 transportation resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we're going to meal and cost too.
So this DHS requires us to look at our meal costs every year, come up with an average cost of what it costs to do the meals. And then we use that cost to charge family care for the full price. The only thing I don't like about that is it's based on last year expenses, and who knows what this year's expenses are. So I think you actually lose, you know, probably about a 4% that you should have in there. But that being said, that is what how they do it. So this year's meal cost tool is 1401. Do we know what it was at? Do you remember?
It's at 1307 right now.
Okay. So it is an increase. So I just need approval to pass that increase from the 1307 to the 1401 along to our contracts.
Okay. Need a motion to approve that?
Yes.
And second, if I could.
I'll make a motion.
Motion.
Pat, will you second?
Anybody get a second for that?
Pat seconded.
Oh, Pat did. Okay. All those in favor of the meal cost increase 1401, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nutrition program update.
All right. Well, we have sent flyers and information out to everybody we could think of in Platteville.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple inquiries that haven't gone anywhere. So we're hoping to tweak something or find something yet. Although I've seen in the newspaper that OE Gray might be open again, so maybe we could go back there.
No. I think that's not going to happen.
No.
Bad
head. So we are still looking for a congregate spot for land at, mostly just for them to take the meals from the armory to there. We had thought, I think when I talked to you last month, we had thought we had an apartment that we had looked at before that would work really great. However, they have decided to use that big room that they had. I don't know, you just said they decided to go in a different direction with it. I don't know what they're doing there, but it would have been great for us. But yeah,
Lori, Mark, you might be able to shed some light on this. I don't remember who I was talking to a few weeks ago, but they said, "What about the community room at the apartments behind the two?" Evidently, they have
the ones we looked at.
That's the one.
That's the one we looked at.
Used to be House of Peace.
That's the one that we had hoped to get, but they said no, they're doing something different there now. So we got a hold of him right away thinking that would be good, but it is what it is.
Maybe I'll contact the Church of Peace.
We contacted all, so we sent flyers out to all the churches and like apartment complexes and anywhere we could basically think of. So I'll double check with Kathy, but I'm pretty sure we did it. So we'll keep working on that. We're hoping for, you know, we're hoping that with these new draft regulations and OAA regulations changing too, we're hoping that those takeout meals would at least be considered congregate that they're doing. Right now they come out of home delivered, which is not beneficial to us. So, but I'm hoping in the future, because this coming next year, it's kind of crazy. So we don't even know the GWAR budget. So you've approved all this budget. We still don't have a budget for our Older Americans Act programs at all yet. And GWAR just sent out yesterday that it'll still be a couple weeks out. And that's our nutrition program. That's our caregiver programs. I mean, so you're just kind of going on anything. We've had complete flexibility during the pandemic on those programs. But come now that we're out of that, we will only have the ability to transfer up to about 30% of congregate over to home delivered. But statewide, they can only transfer 15%. So I have 30% written into my budget, I believe, and I won't find that out until April or May of next year, whether that's even approved. So it's a goofy way to do it. So you have no way of knowing if you're going to get it. It depends on if everybody in the state asks for it. Well, then clearly I'm not going to get it at that. So it's kind of crazy. But I'm going to ask. So so that's where we're at in Platteville. We're still looking. We're hoping to, you know, find something for people. Bagley, do you want to talk about
Bagley? We're still in talks. I spoke with the restaurant owner last week or the week before. She is open to looking at how she can get a ramp set up there. She thinks it'll be beneficial for her customers too. So she's open to getting some bids, and that's what I heard from the state, is if she can get a number together, we can maybe help find some money, you know, to make it work. So we're waiting on the dimensions exactly of what GWAR needs for approval. So I'm hoping I'm going to follow up with Jean this week to see if she has any more information for me. So that's still kind of, that's in the works. We're trying to figure out how we can use the restaurant there and work together. So
I left prioritization and waitlist on here. I didn't know if you had anything new on prioritization.
We haven't met since the last time.
So as you can see, our nutrition budget has gone up and gone up and gone up and gone up in terms of home delivered meals. We're still serving a lot of home delivered meals. The numbers have come down a little bit because Courtney's got, you know, those who were on just for COVID kind of off, but we're never going to see a reduction like it was prior to COVID, because it was going up prior to COVID all the time while congregate was going. So with a county this size, eventually we're going to have to make some decisions about when we say we can't serve any more meals in this town, and Platteville will be one of them quickly. Because again, we're at 80 meals a day there, or averaging at least between 72 and 80.
Yep.
And that puts us at a real risk for, with not enough volunteers, not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not something that Courtney and I can run over and cover as easily. So expect to be, as we move forward, expect to be thinking about that and talking about that, because I really do think we are going to have to look at either a wait list, and I'm not fond of that, but I also have to be able to deliver meals. And if we have volunteers go down, or we lose, if we even lost one over there right now, it would be critical. We have sent things out and we'll continue to look for, you know, for volunteers, but we just don't have as many. We've had our best luck lately in Lancaster with the businesses that we sent things to.
The banks are really
The banks have kind of stepped up, which is nice.
Yes.
So we'll continue to do some of that and try to keep up. And we're doing it, but my concern is if we lose one of our major volunteers who volunteers all the time, we're going to be in trouble. You know, in Lancaster here, if a volunteer doesn't show up, Courtney and I can run over. We know that route. In Bosqueville, the same way, our bigger routes. But Platteville's not one that I can step into very easily because I don't know, you know, I don't know the addresses. It makes it a lot more difficult and slows you down a lot when you don't know where people are at. So we'll continue to bring that to you as we feel needed. I just kind of left it on in case something else had come up. But I really do think, I think we're going to send some information out to home delivered people as well that may, you know, maybe some people are not as needy as other people might be, and could get off of it if need be. I mean, the other thing is I like to see the people who really, really do need it be on it, and, you know, people who could maybe have family members help out or have, you know, might have a little outside support, possibly not if it gets to that. So, but again, just bringing it up for future reference, because I can't imagine we can't take on more. We just can't. I'm already worried about it. It's one of those risk management things. It's like, I know we can't really contain it if we had to, and it's 5 days a week. So it really makes it a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're sitting with that. Okay. Vouchers.
Vouchers.
I went over the vouchers again and I made the same mistake I made last month where I charged employee meals instead of meals purchased. So that will get changed again. My mistake. These account numbers and names are just a little bit different from Springbrook and obviously still catching on. So there won't be $15,000 charged to employee meals.
Shoot.
It's going to be a good meal. I don't know what we had, but yeah. Heck
of a Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. So those will get moved.
Oh. All right. We need approval for vouchers too.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the vouchers.
I make a motion to approve it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Motion made, second, approved. Vouchers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Financials. Any question on the financials? I did move some congregate expenses around. We were off a little bit in congregate percentages between congregate and home delivered. So that did help. It didn't make my forecasting as good as I liked because I'm still going to be over in congregate. However, between congregate and home delivered itself, we're at about 69-70%. So we're probably going to be just a little bit over in nutrition. Nutrition has been kind of a crapshoot as it is because we don't know. We didn't know when sites were going to be open last year, and I forecasted a little wrong on that, and I didn't forecast
know if they'd stay open this yep. year.
hard to know what food and everything is going to do, but and paper supplies. My God, paper supplies are crazy,
crazy.
So, but it did help. It did make us not look quite as overspent. We're at 83% now, 84 there, and then 64 at home delivered. So. I think overall, when I figured it, we were about 60-70, so we'll be a little better. We should be at about 66% for reference right now. So when you're looking at that, you can see that. Obviously, our revenues don't catch up that quickly, because I think we're just through GWAR, we're through what, June?
Mm-hmm.
So our revenues trickle in slower than our expenses do. Other than that, I think everything is at or good. Specialized is a little low because we didn't have a driver. We do now have a driver that will be picking up the SOC route or has picked up the SOC route. So that will increase our specialized numbers a little bit. Taxi John has had some time off. That's our other problem. We don't have any sub-drivers for taxi much. When we shift Rowland when we can. So when John takes off, it's usually a closed day. Caregiver, we're a little under. We're just having people not spend out all their rest, essentially. So Nicole's working with that to try to get that taken care of. Same with Alzheimer's. And part of that is they just, you know, we get new people coming in and we can't find a direct care worker for them. So makes it a little trickier too. And ADRC, we're right at 66%. So we're staying pretty good, except for nutrition being a little bit over, but considering how dicey that's been the last few years, I don't feel too bad about that. Any questions on that? If you see something that looks iffy, ask.
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Report.
Okay. Well, clearly we've been working on the budget, and apparently I'm not very good at it. We've got Elderfest. We've mentioned that several times. We are partnering with Southwest CAP. They've got some additional grant funds for vaccine incentives for COVID and influenza. So they are going to be there. They're going to work in partnership with the health department and us and people who are eligible to receive a 25 gift card and get money for getting a COVID or flu vaccine there. So I'm anticipate that will increase their numbers. Their numbers at our elder event have been pretty good. They've been doing about, I think, around 70 some between the other ones. So I suspect that will increase them. We're also working with auditors right now. Sheriff Department is, we had asked the Sheriff Department or talk with them about it, a few months ago. On de-escalation techniques. We're just seeing people with the unwinding, public health emergency unwinding going on. People are, you know, stressed, and that stress kind of comes out sometimes with us, especially if we're not able, you know, we can't make everybody eligible for things. In speaking with Nate, he had had staff go to a conference on de-escalation and they'd come back. And so they put together a presentation that they will use for us. And I think social services is also going to do it. We were going to use it for our nutrition staff as well, because it worked out in a day they were going to be here, but now he had to shift that due to staffing. So we may have to see if he can do that at a later date. But it's a nice collab with another department, with the other departments too. So we're looking forward to that. Meal cost tool we talked about. Part D is starting up October 15th to December 7th. We are starting to take appointments. Most of what we will do will be over the phone, email, or mail. That should not say email and email. It should say email and mail. Emily will use those in-person appointments for people who really need them that might be really hard of hearing and can't do it that way. But for the most part, we have found it pretty beneficial to do it just mailing things out and following up with them on a phone call to do it. So she can get a lot more done that way than bringing people in and having them sit, because it usually lessens how many we can serve. Told you I met with Derek Van Orden's legislative aide, car show. ADRC staff had an all-staff training and team building experience in Monroe that I think they enjoyed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I stayed back and answered phones all day, which I didn't enjoy nearly as much, yeah. But I got to it. So. I wanted wanted them to all be able to go. So it worked out okay. We gave out all our farmers market vouchers for the first time since I've been here in 10 years for 2023. They upped the amounts to $35 from $25, and they allowed, if there were two people in a household eligible, to get them. And we got rid of all of ours, which was really nice. So I'm happy about that. And then managers met with Southwest CAP's multicultural outreach program. One of our aging goals that we have to do is on advocacy and equity and inclusion. So we met with them to talk about what resources they have for that population, South American population that is here in Grant County. So we've got some valuable resources from that. We've got their information going into our newsletter to get out to people that might be aware, because they might be more inclined to go contact them versus us if they're looking for some things, and they can help people looking for assistance or they just do kind of a variety of things. So you can look for that in the news and views. We'll also probably follow up with some training for staff on that to meet our aging goals, but that was a nice meeting. So. And then if you go on to program reports, you shall see that we continue to be busy. Very, very busy. There it is. Information and assistance, which is our ADRC staff that do the intake and answer the phone calls. We just got August numbers, and they're even higher. August numbers are actually, I think, 600, but they just came in yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, but as you can see, we're at about 40%, almost 39% of total contacts for the four county region, and we're at 44% of encounter contacts, which are contacts with actually, you know, the people. We're at 44%. So they are busy. They are very, very busy. But I think everything is picking up really, really well. Dan's been doing great with the bus. Our taxi promotion, I did want to point out, did not produce great numbers. I think maybe we averaged one more ride. Maybe one. It wasn't anything to get me really excited. But I'm thinking maybe we'll kind of play it by ear, and maybe we'll offer a holiday promotion. People might, again, use it more than it wasn't enough to really sway me to lower it. But I kind of thought I would see more. But we really.
Laura, you might want to look at that holiday promotion, work with the chamber, and see if they would tied in with like a shop local.
Yeah. And we are a member of all three chambers. So the problem is Lancaster is our busiest by far. He has been continued to be busy there. It's Boscobel and Fenimore that we're struggling with a little bit. So it is what it is. It's just, but Lancaster uses it quite well, I think. So it may be something to look at as we move forward. We may have to shift. We may have to offer more in Lancaster and less in those towns if need be. I still want to, and we have it sort of budgeted in here to, if we can get some drivers. And the nice thing is we could probably use it on taxi days when John's gone, is to be able to offer like a once a month in a community. So that if somebody did need to go get groceries, they could count on like our vehicle being there on a, you know, second Thursday or whatever of the month. And it might be only like a 3-hour period or something, but I'd still really like to do some of that. And just, you know, so it might be Hazel Green, might be Kansas City, it might be Cassville. I mean, it wouldn't, you know, and those times might vary depending on where it was. But we'd still like to do that. But again, it's all on who we can attract the drivers. So I did have Dan, had some information for Dan on at the car show to try to attract some volunteers if possible, and some other drivers. So we did get one, so we're happy with that, but we just don't get applications for them at all. But everybody I've talked to says that's a statewide problem. So, and it's not just ADRCs, it's school districts and everybody else. But
and is the problem just that people aren't volunteering, or are there other barriers like insurance and all, or, you know, they're afraid of liability? Or
yeah, I mean, I think the liability is there are insurance companies that do charge you more if you're doing it. I feel like most of our drivers that do it, they'll do it as an extra income, because the ones that do it really do it. We've got maybe one or two drivers that sort of, once they hit the limit, kind of back off.
Yeah.
So what is it, 600 before we have to give them,
I think, yeah.
A W-4? Not clear with my language.
1099.
Yeah. So some of them do back off on that, so they don't get into that being taxed on it. But a lot of them don't. A lot of them, I think, actually do with it. But, you know, to write it off, you're still, I think, at 14 cents for the IRS writing anything off. 14 cents a mile, which is not very much when you're paying gas, you know. So
what I found with nutrition volunteers, what seems to be a barrier more is as they retire, they're watching grandkids and they're babysitting and they're doing a lot more of that than I think they ever used to. So they're too busy. They're busier after they retire than they were when they were working. So they don't have the extra time.
Yeah.
That's what I hear a lot.
Yeah.
Of.
Well, you do see that.
I just was wondering if it's something that we could correct so we got more volunteers, but that sounds like it is.
I hear that more like, are you working tomorrow? Yeah, I work every
yeah.
I work every day. I think, and but we can't even get the paid drivers in. So I mean, and I know SLC struggles with it. Like I said, the school district. Gary retired, you know, you retired from bus driving several years ago, and now you're still a bus driver.
Oh, it just makes, once you get 70, the DOT makes you go in every year for a Fed Med, which
yeah.
is fine.
Yeah.
You're not physically fit, but the driving thing, the written test every
yeah.
2 years is foolish.
Yeah.
That should be every 4 years.
And that's why we backed off from no longer having the big buses and the CDLs, because
yeah.
we couldn't get a CDL. Driver, you know, hardly to save our soul anymore. So that's why we went to the smaller and the non-CDLs. But even then, we either get somebody who wants it to be full time, which
right.
we don't have, and we don't really necessarily have that kind of need anymore, or we, you know, we don't get them. So
yeah,
we were lucky we got one.
Even a DOT inspector respecting my bus. I said, don't you want to hear the backup alarm and hear the horn? Oh, yeah, hit them too.
Yeah.
I was telling him what to do. That was an inspector. Oh, well.
Yeah, we actually had that on one of our vehicles that they inspected too. I had a fit on a tire that I thought he didn't mark
yeah.
it as needing to be replaced, and I did.
Yes.
So. Like, you never know. Sometimes they do overlook things, too, and I think especially when they're doing a lot. But you know, we'll just kind of keep at it. We're still advertising in a variety of ways, and I'm going to look specifically for volunteers in, like, Boscobel and Fenimore that can cover the taxi, because the taxi is a different animal. You do need to know addresses pretty well, and you need to know the town pretty well. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to know Lancaster, Boscobel, and Fenimore well like John does. But, you know, like Gary would know Boscobel really well. He might not know Lancaster as well. But and for some of our drivers that would maybe want to do that, they might not be as, you know, proficient on the GPS. And that slows you down too. So, but if I could find somebody even just willing to do a half a day in Boscobel and half a day in Fenimore. But we've tried to change up our advertising that way, and we still don't get them, but we'll keep trying best we can do. So Anything else? Do you have anything on nutrition you want to point out?
The only notes I made is, which this has been consistent, our total meal count is down about 2,000, but that's because I think everybody was eligible.
Yes.
You know, that we cut that off where only those that are eligible can get home delivered. And but our donation amount is actually up. Last year at this time it was $2.58, and right now it's $2.90. However, as the unwinding continues, as people are maybe losing some of those benefits, because, you know, that may change again. So, but those were really my two notes.
Are our family care meals staying pretty consistent?
Our family care meals are pretty consistent, yeah. Yeah. And that income is not in there. This is the what? These donations are just from participants.
Right.
It does not.
We have to track. We have to track family care revenue separate. So we can't count the family care meals at all for our older Americans Act. We can't even count them. So they are a separate animal. So, all right. Any questions on any of the reports or my stuff or
Lauren?
Yeah.
Your last bullet point in your report about the ADRC managers and that for the multicultural outreach program.
Yes.
Are they still referring to the Latinx? They're using that phrase.
That's the phrase that she used. So that's why that was the phrase that she used in her article. So yes.
And I'm only bringing it up because I mean this is something more for someplace cat, but I know firsthand that there are members of that population that are very offended by that.
And I think you're going to see that either way in what you use, but typically when the state does it, they say Hispanic / Latino or Latinx. I would say that CAP probably serves more of that population than any of us. So just through their Head Start programs and their other programs, they have different representatives on their like advisory groups. So yeah, that's the term that they used. So I didn't edit.
I'm only the big picture.
I get it.
The immigration situation, does that mean we have a lot of people coming now that don't speak Spanish? And I see that eventually going to be.
And I think their programming right now, though, is targeted at that Spanish speaking population right now.
I understand that.
But obviously, that is where our largest ESL people tend to be at within that, within here. And Grant County is still much lower, but Lafayette has a much higher number because they have a bigger population of it. And
but it's the population from Lafayette County that I've heard are want to be referred to as Mexican. They are not Latino.
Yeah.
So just a comment.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just sort of reported it.
I figured it out.
I thought the same thing, Ken. Yeah. I'm not going to get in the middle of this. And so if it does come up within our newsletter, I'll let them know that. But, I figured they're the ones that are doing the work. So I'll let them know.
Again, the big picture is the more broader talking about all encompassing.
Yes. Yes, but when you look at it, there's a fair amount that I don't even know if she put it into that. It might be in the News and Views article. Can you pull up News and Views? I'm gonna look at it real quick because I think she referenced. Let's see, multiculture. Right here. Right there. I think she referenced as estimate, is that Wisconsin is the home to about 770,000, sorry, immigrants, mostly from Latin America, is how she referenced it. So, yeah, I just, like I said, just went with what she said. But, yeah, no, I get that, and I don't certainly know. I really don't. So that might be one of the questions we ask her in terms of when we're providing information on that is how they do that. Because I really don't know. I'm not well versed in that. So. All right, anything else? Well, sorry for the scurry.
Nothing else, and leave the motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And a second.
I'll second that.
Motion to second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Look at that, 10 o'clock. Even with a crazy budget, all sorts of problems.